I thought you just said, oh, I thought that was you switching. I thought it was you flip-flopping.
Oh, yeah, it was, but...
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this. Right, we have something a bit different for a starter this week. So I was messaging my father and he forwarded on a message from one of his friends. So just to give you a visual representation of my dad's friend, my dad calls him Oliver Hardy. Take the tash off Oliver Hardy and it's my dad's mate. So this message, I tried reading out to Megan and it weren't happening. I couldn't stop laughing. I was choking.
I was actually getting annoyed because Neil prefaced it with, "This is so fucking funny." And I'm like, I don't know what the joke is. It's just you choking on your words.
So I asked for permission. I said, "Can we please read that out on the podcast?" And my dad asked his mate and his mate said, "Yeah." So Megan is going to read it out because I can't get through it.
No.
So yeah, read it.
Take it away.
Yeah.
So just off the top of this message, right, he starts it with, "Sit down for this one," all caps. "Had a mobility scooter to go to the mall. Only one they had, folded up like the size of a suitcase. All was well. Bloke came to fetch it back tonight, so I left it in reception on charge till he arrived. So he said he would arrive at 7:30 p.m, so I went to take it off charge. Then I sat on it to move it to be closer to the doors, ready for him to collect. Only some dick had... Only some dickhead had been messing with it whilst I wasn't there, and they had pulled the handle to fold it, but didn't fold it. So it was right up to the concrete pillar. It goes to caps now. I sat on it, it then folded, the handlebars pinned my chest to the seat, then it automatically goes into fold mode, crushing me into the seat with the handlebars. So I had to shout a bloke to go about 200 yards to fetch Rob, and then him and Rob tried to free me. All this time, I am being crushed in pain. Then two security came over, plus a crowd of onlookers, and eventually Rob, the man, and the two security guys managed to get me free. Bruised on my ribs, cut my knee, elbow, and ankle. He finishes the message by saying, "Now you can laugh."
Right.
That's some visual.
If that was me, if I couldn't go anywhere without being on a mobility scooter, that's it. I'm housebound. I'm not going anywhere.
Mm.
If that happened to me, you would never see me out of the house ever again. How can you show your face after that?
Does he use the mobility scooter quite a lot, or is it just if he feels he needs it that day?
As far as I know, he doesn't own one.
Mm-hmm.
It's if they're going out and he's going to be on his feet
for a while, long periods of time.
He'll hire one.
Yeah.
Which happened here.
Mm.
Some dick pulled the handle. Someone set him up.
That's a right situation. That poor man. I mean, I'm glad he's a sense of humour about it, though. Fair play to him.
We've actually, we went to Belgium with him once. Mm-hmm. This was years ago. I was like, I don't know, like 15, 16 maybe.
Bobby Neil.
Yeah. We went to Belgium. Me and my dad went every year. But this year he came and he brought his two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we got off the boat in Belgium, he wanted to go to a shop what did, you know, because they make chocolates fresh that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So he's from Chesterfield.
Oh.
So you know how I call people love?
Mm-hmm.
He calls them duck.
Okay.
So he goes up to the he goes up to the counter, you know, and she, you know, the woman, you can tell her English is broken,
mm-hmm.
but so he's basically saying, "I'll have a pick and mix." They'll get you a little box and then you pick what chocolates you want in it.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabs the box and she went, "So, what do you like in it?" He went, "Stick whatever you want in, duck." She's like, "What?" Like she didn't have a clue. He had to repeat it a couple of times. And I think my dad intervened in the end and went, "Just you pick." And she was like, "Oh, okay."
See, that actually annoys me, that.
Stick whatever you want in, duck.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of like not realising That you're not in your usual setting.
Yeah.
Someone doesn't speak that way. People do it to you a lot and it really pisses me off though. There's the other side of that where people know you're using slang or that you're, with your accent, you say something slightly different.
Mm.
The amount of times I've seen an Irish person be really ignorant to you and they're like, what are you, I can't understand what you're saying. It's like, you know what he's saying. You know what he's getting at.
So that same day where it said, stick whatever you want in, doc.
Mm-hmm.
He was leaving the shop. He was leaving the shop. They'd got the...
And he's off again.
So it was coming up to Christmas. We always went over to do like last minute Christmas shopping and to go to the Christmas markets over there. So they'd got like this big Christmas display. I think they were made of chocolate. I can't remember. Big Santa, you know, and a big Rudolph, big snowman.
Very festive.
But they'd got it behind, they got it behind the door. So he swung the door open, clattered it into this display. That went everywhere. It was just the stupid face on him just stood there looking at it and looking at us and then looking back at it as if like we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Me and my dad bolted out. We were having nothing to do with it. We bolted out of that shop. We were gone.
Can't take him anywhere.
Oh, God. Chezzy's.
Imagine him on a stag do. Imagine the carnage he would create.
Yeah. But yeah. Every time I think of him on that mobility scooter, I just crack up laughing.
Mm.
But yeah, if that anything remotely like that happened to me, I'd be housebound.
Yeah, I mean,
not going anywhere.
You're one of those people, I mean, I've seen you do it many times, that you think an inanimate object is like trying to make a fool out of you.
Yeah.
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 Mm.
Yeah, that's happened a few times.
I remember the first time I witnessed it, it was through a laptop and... He said, it's making me look a mug.
He's laughing at me.
I started laughing because I was like, it's a laptop. Like, it's not...
Taking piss out of me.
Yeah. And then you got annoyed at me because you thought I was laughing at you. It wasn't you. It was what you were saying.
But you were defending the laptop as well.
That's what I'm talking about. You kind of took it as like a... I mean, there was some
competition. You were
going
to get up on
here.
Me.
Yeah.
Some of our listeners will understand exactly where I'm coming from.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember I had one before when I worked at IKEA loading the trucks, and they had these big yellow lights on like a metal swing arm, and the frame of this light was metal.
Oh yeah, I remember this one.
Some dickhead pulled it out. So as I'm bending over to pick probably a wardrobe up, a 50 kg wardrobe up off of the pallet, I raise up. Smacked my fucking head straight off of this light.
Yeah.
I saw red, lost it, punched it, nearly broke my hand. So I'm there holding my head with one hand under my armpit with the other.
And every single worker just stood there going, what has just happened?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And then there were another time I had an argument with a flask. I was pouring. I'd got a coffee flask. And I'd only got one cup of coffee left in it. I'd only got a little bit left. And I went to pour it and nothing was coming out. And I was like, fucking empty. I tipped it a little bit more and it all came out like a fucking tidal wave, went everywhere. I lost it. I lost it through the coffee flask, not knowing it was glass inside.
Mm.
That shattered. Glass went fucking... This isn't IKEA warehouse. Glass went fucking everywhere. And you just got me shouting at this coffee flask and then storming outside to cool off. And
Did you get a warning or anything? Or were they just kind of like, oh, that's just Neil.
No.
That's just Neil trying to have his lunch.
No, apparently the supervisor at the time, he came out and went, what was that noise? What was that? And someone said it was something else.
It was Neil having his break.
Yeah. So yeah, good times.
Anyway, we've got a shout out to do today. We've got a shout out for Brandon. You got any? I got a few.
I ain't even been thinking about it.
So obviously, Brandon, Bran. Bran Flakes. You know how Pitbull is Mr. Worldwide?
Yeah.
Mr. Regular.
Yes.
You get it?
Yes. Yeah? Mr. Bran Regular.
Flakes. Yes.
That's the one.
So thank you, Mr. Regular. We appreciate you.
Nominated as one of the best British true crime podcasts, Murder Mile is hailed as a masterpiece of compelling storytelling. Researched using the original police files, over 300 episodes, Murder Mile has covered hundreds of crimes you won't hear anywhere else. As well as solving cold cases, unearthing new evidence, and even discovering a serial killer no one even knew existed. For a truly original podcast, subscribe to Murder Mile.
So, with that out of the way, you know, people need to move on from visualising Oliver Hardy without a tash, stuck in a mobility scooter.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got for us today?
Today, we are going to be talking about the murder of Jasmine Fiore.
Fiore?
Fiore.
What am I? Am I hearing it different?
Fiore. Some people pronounce it as Fiore, I think. It's F-I-O-R-E.
Oh, so it's not Fiore.
No, it's not Fury.
Okay.
Fiore.
And what does she do?
You got to wait till we get to the episode. I love how you ask me that and you expect me to give you like a brief rundown. So this is what happened. Now let's start. So you know the way a few weeks ago I was rewatching Viva La Bam because, you know, nostalgia.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, can I just say that it is wild rewatching it back now as an adult.
It's atrocious.
It's a very,
I used
very
to watch
different situation.
That and you'd got it on and I was looking at it going, I would have never watched this.
Yeah. Watching it.
So fake.
Watching it as an adult is bizarre.
I remember really thinking weird. That was real.
Okay,
like the
well,
pranks
you,
on the dad and stuff like that. When I was a kid, I thought that was real.
No, I knew there were setups, but yeah, it's really blatantly fake.
Yeah, the one that always stands out to me, I always remember it, is the fireworks going off in the parents' bedroom.
Yeah, I think that was in Jackass. It was before they did Viva La Bam.
Oh, I can't remember from Viva La Bam then.
Okay, yeah, but anyway, I was re-watching Viva La Bam because, you know, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
And do you remember, he wasn't like one of the main cast, but he was in it a few times, a guy, another skateboarder called Terry Kennedy.
No.
He would sometimes be referred to as Compton-ass Terry.
No.
No, okay.
Was he from Compton?
I assume so, yes.
Okay.
So I was looking up, as I do when I watch a show, the cast and all that and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out Terry Kennedy was actually charged with first degree murder.
What?
Mm. Now, he's since been acquitted. It was a situation of an assault took place and someone died as a result of it.
And it's Fiore?
No, that's separate.
Oh.
I'm saying this is what led me to covering this when I was looking up reality TV and then reality TV deaths.
Right.
And I end up getting on a bit of a roll.
Okay.
But yeah. Now, since been acquitted, like I said, I'll say it again. Don't be coming for Terry, you know. But yeah.
Come for him. No one knows who he is.
Also, share a birthday with Terry. So happy birthday, Terry. I get very excited about that when I share a birthday with someone.
I share one with your man from Angover.
All of yours are shit. I've got loads of...
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about him, really, if I'm honest with you. I share a birthday with loads of, like, really kind of cool, high-profile celebrities, yeah?
Yeah.
Yours were kind of mundane.
What about Tara from World's Dumbest Criminals?
Oh, yeah, you have Tara. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Birthday twin.
So Fiore.
Oh, sorry, yeah, because it's an Italian name, so do you want to pronounce it how it should be?
Fiore.
So her name was Jasmine Fiore, but she was born Jasmine Lepore on the 18th of February, 1981.
Are you sure it's not Lepore?
I actually found both, but I think it's Lepore. I don't know. More people seem to say Lepore.
Ignorant people.
She grew up in Bonnydoon, a small town just outside of Santa Cruz, California. She was an only child. Her parents divorced when she was just 8 years old, and she was raised by her mother. As a young woman, Jasmine was described as a fun-loving girl who had ambitions. She wanted to experience more of the world, more than just the small town that she had known. So Jasmine started a career in modelling, specifically swimsuit modelling, but also for ad campaigns. But something that could really open these doors for her was the world of Playboy.
Is that a thing anymore?
What?
Well, you always heard that, swimsuit models. But is that a thing anymore?
Well, there are swimsuits that need to be modelled.
No, I know that, but they don't call them a swimsuit model. A swimsuit model is just some bird in a bikini laying by a pool.
Mm. Yeah, as far as I'm aware, they still do like the whole Sports Illustrated thing, don't they? That's still a big thing.
No idea. Mm. It's just knickers and bras now, isn't it?
Well, Sports Illustrated, the whole thing was the swimsuit issue, wasn't it? I don't know if they still do it. That's kind of a bigger thing in America than over here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we just do underwear over here. Don't
get them out. Whip them out, lads. As with a lot of women who aspire to work with Playboy, Jasmine set her sights on becoming a centerfold. In the early 2000s, Playboy was... It had a hold on the world, didn't it?
Yeah. So it's as big as, like, Reader's Digest.
What?
It's as big as, like, Reader's Digest.
No, I'm talking about the world of Playboy. It was a whole thing. There was jewellery, there was games, there was TV shows. I was obsessed with Girls Next Door. Do you remember the reality TV show?
Yeah.
Loved it. Even when I was rewatching Viva La Bam, they went to the Playboy Mansion.
Oh.
You couldn't swing a reality star in the 2000s.
Yeah, like when I went, so I left school in 2005. So the whole time I was in secondary school, I'd be in school with 12-year-old girls and they'd be there with a Playboy pencil case.
Mm. I think there was a perfume, like there was just so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the brand, yeah. You know? So with the enormous popularity of Playboy, there was a lot of women who wanted to work with the company and become playmates. Thousands and thousands of women each month submitted their photographs for auditions.
I actually heard something. You'll be able to tell me if it's true or not. I actually heard something about Playboy bunnies, that they was told what they could eat, how long they could sleep, what skincare routine they had to do. Apparently they were like really strict.
Well, I mean, I haven't worked in it, I can't say for a fact. But if it's the servers in the Playboy clubs, no, I'd imagine that was more strict, or if you were the centerfold and you were whatever, probably.
Mm.
Where did you hear this?
Do you know, it could have been the House Bunny. Now I'm thinking about it.
Another good movie.
That is a good movie.
Great movie.
When she stands over that grate, she's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
But you've got a little bit of a thing for Anna Faris, don't you?
I think she's lovely. What's so fucking funny?
I love how you say that. Like, I met her only last Sunday. We're out for coffee. Sound lovely. Down to earth.
She's one of them I've never heard anyone say anything bad.
No.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say anything good, but never heard anything bad said about her.
So back to Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
A good way of getting noticed was...
Anna Faris is doing the new scary movie, by the way.
I know, I told you.
Oh. Sorry. Continue.
A good way of getting noticed was by attending the Fun in the Sun parties at the mansion, which, in order to attend these parties, you had to fit a certain look. And Jasmine definitely fit the Playboy mold. She was pretty petite with long blonde hair. But it wasn't just her physical appearance that attracted others. It was her overall demeanour, with her being described as a soft-spoken person who's very sweet and courteous of others.
I looking back at the 2000s,
mm-hmm.
What the fuck were we thinking?
I know.
You know, people like a curvier figure.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what hair, you know, people have their types with hair colour and stuff. But back in 2000s, it was skinny as they can be, with massive tits,
mm-hmm.
bleach blonde hair, mm-hmm. had to be blonde hair. And if you look at it now, it's like, that doesn't look natural.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at models in the 90s, it was literally called heroin chic.
What?
Yeah. You know, the,
like Kate Moss.
The Kate Moss era kind of thing. Yeah, it was referred to as heroin chic because they had such a slim frame. Yeah, no good.
I've no idea why I straight away went to Kate Moss when I heard heroin.
She was part of it though, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, it's all bullshit really. You like what you like, you look how you know what I mean? It's kind of just all what you're being told.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So if someone came up to me now and said, you see her over there, she's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't think so, I'd say, no, she's not. In my opinion, no, she's not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in the 2000s, it was whatever was thrown down your throat.
Yeah.
You believed it.
Well, I mean, a big one for the 90s was Pamela Anderson. I mean, don't get me wrong. What?
Never seen it.
Oh, I thought you were saying I've never seen her. What are you talking about?
No, I know.
I thought she was, like, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But I loved the big hair, the full makeup. I loved that whole look. I still do. I think, perfection. But even now, like, you look at Pam Ranson and she's kind of really kind of going against that whole image of how a woman has to look. Like, she's going to the award shows with no makeup on or anything. She's really making a statement, which is absolutely bizarre to say she's making a statement by not wearing makeup.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but yeah.
Trish Stratus, she was another one.
Yeah.
A wrestler.
Mm.
How she didn't pop a tit in wrestling matches, because they were big. Like, she'd had a lot of work put into them. And all I kept thinking is,
do you work at the doctor's surgery or something? Like, you've got her fucking files right in front of you.
No, just one look at her and it's like, one wrong move and she's going to pop a tit.
I actually do worry about that with wrestlers and their implants.
Yeah.
When I'm watching, I'm like, oh my God.
Like, I don't know how she got away with it.
Mm.
She was jumping off at top rope with them.
Mm. Again, back to reality. Jumping off top rope with them. Back to reality, I used to watch Total Divas. And I'm pretty sure there was a storyline in that where one of the wrestlers, her implant had burst or migrated or there was something like that. Mm. And that was a concern. And I was like, yes, it is a concern.
Because it can poison them, can't it?
Mm, go into your bloodstream. Yeah,
fuck that. Just live with what you got. Or if you have to, just put a couple of socks in.
Well, no, see, I'm in favour of, you know, getting some work done if it's going to make you feel better.
Just don't chuck your centre bar after.
Yeah, just be careful. Careful. No, I mean, I'm in favour of any type of modification you want to make.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I've said it many times. If I had the money, I'd get the works.
Yeah, you told me you'd be a completely different woman.
The job lot. In 2004, Jasmine became a host of Playboy's golf tournaments, the Girls of Playboy Golf. She was said to have been perfect for the position. You know, it's one thing to simply be an attractive person. It's another to have the charisma to captivate others. She had a beautiful smile, and the men who attended these events were drawn in by her. And Jasmine's hosting abilities didn't go unnoticed. After about a year hosting the tournaments, Jasmine was asked to be a coordinator for the events. In March of 2009, Jasmine met a man by the name Ryan Alexander Jenkins at a nightclub in Las Vegas. Now, they met on the 16th of March, and by the 18th, they were married at the Little White Chapel.
Fucking hell. I know we fucking were fast-forwarding.
It's a bit of a whirlwind romance.
But that.
Mm.
Like, do you even know his mother's maiden name before he got married?
Well, this is exactly it. It's a bit of a whirlwind romance. But who is Ryan Jenkins?
She didn't even know. Really?
Ryan, who was originally from Canada, was a former reality TV contestant on the show Megan Wants a Millionaire. The show centred around Megan Houserman, a former Playboy model, specifically a cyber girl. She was first discovered by Playboy in 2005, and by 2007, although she enjoyed her time at Playboy, she decided to make the move into reality television. The concept of the show, if you hadn't guessed it, is that Megan wants a millionaire. And the contestants had to have a net worth of at least $1 million.
Well, yeah, it'd be pointless otherwise.
It'd be a bit redundant, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan told production that he had a net worth of $2.5 million.
And instead, he had $2.50.
Well, this is it. Ryan was not a millionaire. He did come from money, but it was his father. His father was a successful architect. It was daddy's money, not his.
Yeah, see, you see that with rich families where the kid is like, we're loaded. And it's like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, if I had kids and I had the money to support them, I would do as much for them as I could.
But it's my money.
Remember whose bank account's coming from.
What's the problem? We're loaded. No, you're fucking not.
We are not. When Megan recalled her time spent with Ryan on the show, she said that she liked him from the very beginning.
But then she saw his bank account and was like,
She said that during the time filming the show, her and Ryan did end up forming a relationship, but of course had to keep it quiet given the nature of the show.
Oh.
Mm.
So basically no one else stood a fucking chance.
Well.
Oh.
Something that Megan noticed about Ryan was that he would become very jealous of the time she spent with the other men on the show. Now, they had a relationship, like I said, going outside this. Ryan was even writing her love letters and things like that. They were, I don't want to say committed to each other, but they definitely had something going on.
Yeah. I honestly thought you were going to say she noticed one of his soles were flapping on his shoes and was like, why hasn't he got new shoes?
No.
No.
As the show progressed and Ryan was down to the final three men, Megan told production that she wanted to pick Ryan, but the producers didn't envision him as the winner.
It's not up to them.
But it is. It's their show.
Bollocks.
It's a TV show.
It's reality.
In terms of television reality, the word reality doesn't, it loses all meaning.
No.
Kardashians did not invent reality TV. If you want to give credit to anyone, I would say the Osbournes. They were the...
Oh, yeah.
That was the original, kind of the current format we have of the Kardashians and all that shit. It's credit to the Osbournes.
Who's pissed on fucking carpet.
That's what he says. So, like I said, Megan picked Ryan as the winner in her mind, but production were like, not so much.
Mm. Do you remember when Ozzy Osbourne threw the pig's head over the fence?
No.
The next door neighbours were making loads of racket. And he kept telling them to shut up and they wouldn't. I think they ended up turning music up. So they were doing like a big roast and he grabbed the pig's head and he threw it over the hedge into the garden and shouted bastards, I think.
Oh. Now, Megan was unable to tell Ryan about production's decision and this was in order to keep the reactions authentic. She had to go along with what they said and eliminate him.
Yeah.
So when this happens, Ryan is pissed. And following this, he is constantly calling Megan and trying to get her attention, but due to her filming schedule and being around production constantly, she didn't really get a chance to talk to him. So he's flailing. He's like, what the fuck is going on?
And now he's a member of the audience watching her around all these rich, good-looking guys.
Well, I don't think they would have kept him in the audience. I think that's a bit... He's been sent back to his hotel and you sit there until we're finished or whatever.
Oh, no, I thought... Like aired on telly?
No, it didn't end up airing.
Oh.
So of course, Megan does want to speak to Ryan and communicate what actually went down. It wasn't her just stringing him along and then fucking him off.
Mm.
2 days after his elimination, Megan answers Ryan's call and he tells her that he's met the love of his life and that he is now married, which... Megan is stunned because just a few days previous, he was telling her that she was the one he wanted to marry. Now, Ryan and Jasmine married in March. By April, Ryan contacts Megan again and tells her that he made a mistake marrying Jasmine.
No shit.
Not long after this, people in Jasmine's life had noticed that she seemed to have become isolated from the life she had once had. And it's quite a noticeable change, given the career that she had had, you know, involved being at events and maintaining a bubbly, most likely flirtatious image.
Yeah.
Around this time, Playboy were trying to make contact to see if she was going to be working with them for their upcoming events, but they were struggling to reach her. And of course, they became concerned. In June of 2009, Ryan asked to meet with Megan for dinner, and she agrees. She said that he appeared shaky and paranoid. He looked pale and as though he had lost weight. She asked Ryan if he's okay, to which he replies, Jasmine is ruining my life. But he also said he wasn't going to let her leave him.
What?
Yeah, slightly odd thing to say. After Megan hears about the struggles in their relationship and how it seems to be affecting Ryan, she thought it'd be best for both of them to separate for a while. And she convinces Ryan to participate in VH1's I Love Money, which would see them part ways while he participated in the show.
Sorry, what an egotistical bastard. So...
Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, prick.
So this relationship's not working, but
it's a competition.
I have to be the one to leave her.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Mm. You do see it a lot with men like this. You know, they get with the, you know, the playmate or what have you, the pretty, stunning girl, outgoing.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like they can't actually handle the attention and stuff and kind of playing second fiddle, so to speak.
I have to mention a fiddle.
What? What do you mean?
Because you're Irish. You have to fucking bring up a fiddle.
It's in my DNA.
That's like playground at a school fucking sort of mentality.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I'd say a lot of people have experienced, you know, something similar in relationships. That kind of point scoring or, you know, you're not going to cross me type of shit. In July of 2009, while filming in Mexico, Ryan is constantly phoning Jasmine, trying to keep tabs on her. And at the same time, Jasmine is desperately trying to get their marriage annulled.
Oh yeah, because is it annulled within the first year?
Well, annulled is just like it didn't exist.
Yeah, but so you don't have to get divorced. Is it within the first year when you can get an annulment?
No, I don't think. I think you can get an annulment anytime, as far as I'm aware.
Oh.
Could be wrong. Never tried to get an annulment. Jasmine's mother would later state that Jasmine had gotten the marriage annulled, but there was no record of the annulment actually going through. Now, apparently, during this time, Ryan was so intense with his checking in on Jasmine, the producer of the show was actually thinking of making it into a storyline. He said,
what?
He said, quote, "It was funny until it wasn't funny at all." You got to think from the point of view of a reality TV producer. Now, I'm not okaying their behavior, but that's what they want. They want drama. They want, you know.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, they're playing with people's lives here, but.
Yeah.
You know. That's kind of where it is good when you see how fake reality TV show is. And you know, okay, this is everyone, hopefully anyway, knows this is absolute bollocks. It's not playing off a real life experience.
Yeah.
On the 15th of August, 2009, Jasmine is reported missing by Ryan. That same day, a man who was out looking for cans to recycle comes across a suitcase as he searched through the bins. He opens the luggage and finds Jasmine's nude body, which had been contorted in order to fit inside the suitcase. Again, Jasmine had quite a petite frame, and initially the man thought the body was that of a child's. After police were called, her body was examined more closely, and they noticed that all of her fingers were missing and her teeth had been pulled as well.
Fucking hell.
They initially thought this could have been related to cartel activity, given the level of mutilation and that gangs were known to operate in the area.
Cartel wouldn't be that bothered about a victim being identified, would they?
Well, I'm just guessing from what they had previously seen. That's what one of the detectives said.
Yeah.
Now, because of the mutilation, Jasmine was unable to be identified immediately. They knew it would be difficult to identify without fingerprints or the use of dental records, and her face had become unrecognisable due to the severity of the beating that had been inflicted. They sent Jasmine's body to the Orange County Coroner's Office for an autopsy. They also brought in a sketch artist to produce an image to the best of their ability, in hopes someone might recognise her. During the autopsy, Jasmine's breast implants were removed. Now, implants have their own serial number, so they were able to obtain the number from the prosthetic, and on the 18th of August, they were able to confirm that this was the body of Jasmine.
I didn't know that, but they had serial numbers on them.
Yeah, in case there's any issues, trace it back to the manufacturer, like we were talking about if one of them burst, you know, some defect, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, thank God. They're able to get that number and identifier, because how brutal this murder and, you know, further mutilation to her body was, it's, you know, it's possible she wouldn't have been identified or not for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah. Can I make a guess?
Mm-hmm.
With the beating, it's Ryan.
You're guessing Ryan is the
murderer. Yeah, with the beating, it's like overkill, it's rage, it's...
Well, they also performed a forensic sexual assault examination, and there was DNA present. But the DNA did not belong to Ryan.
Oh, okay.
but it did belong to someone that they already had in the system. It belonged to recent parolee Michael Cardozzi. Now, Michael was Jasmine's ex-husband. 4 days before her murder, on Tuesday the 11th of August, Jasmine had travelled to San Diego to meet up with Michael upon his release. It was said that Michael and Jasmine were still deeply in love with each other, but they decided to end their relationship due to his incarceration.
Now he's out, but she's with someone else. Oh.
So they go to speak to Michael. But Michael has a solid alibi, which was made even more convincing by the fact that he was wearing an ankle monitor.
Clearly, don't do it.
It clearly wasn't Michael.
Yeah.
So you can stop with your bullshit of accusing poor Mikey over here.
I didn't accuse him.
I didn't accuse him.
Ryan.
What?
Ryan.
I thought you just said, oh, I thought that was you switching. I thought it was you flip-flopping.
Oh, yeah, it was. But it was. But all right. So she went round to your man's house who's on Asbo. She she had a way with him.
Had a way.
Consensual.
Yeah. They loved each other very deeply.
She told Ryan, and Ryan went, you fucking did what? And then the rest is history. Allegedly. What?
You're paying quite a picture, don't you? Anyway, it clearly wasn't Michael. So they now want to check out her current husband, Ryan. They dig a bit deeper into his backstory and find out that Ryan had a history of domestic violence. In 2007, Ryan was convicted of assaulting his girlfriend at the time and was sentenced to 15 months probation as well as a sex addiction therapy program.
Oh.
Mm. He was also arrested following an incident with Jasmine. While in Vegas, he saw her talking to a man, so Ryan pushed her into the pool.
As you do.
After this horrific overreaction, Ryan spent the night in jail. And the case...
In jail for pushing her in the pool?
Yeah. I don't think it was literally like a playful push into the pool. It was like, fuck you.
Get to fuck.
Hoofed her into the pool.
Right.
Yeah. So Ryan spent the night in jail, and this case was actually still waiting to go through the courts at the time of Jasmine's death.
Oh.
So, yeah, it wasn't getting brushed off.
Yeah.
You know? Now, when they checked the missing persons report and realised that it was Ryan who had reported Jasmine missing...
I don't mean a fucking thing.
Well, of course, they try to contact him.
Yeah.
Initially, they struggle to get in contact, but when they finally do, he tells them that he's currently in Utah on his way back to Canada because of issues with his visa. So, police are kind of like, hey, bud, your wife has just been found horrifically mutilated. Why is that your top priority?
And issue with your visa, but you've married a Yank.
Mm.
So there shouldn't be an issue with your visa.
I wouldn't have thought so, but I don't know the fucking process. Either way, it doesn't really matter. It's clearly a load of fucking bollocks.
It's like if I wanted Irish citizenship, the easiest way of doing it is if I just married you or any Irish person and that's it. You got it.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
It's you.
That's a fact.
Or any Irish person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to do it, I'll find someone else who will.
Yeah, of course you will.
Someone will do it for 50 quid. And a bag of cans.
I was going to say. Bulmers, please. Obviously, at this point, police are thinking, fuck this guy. And they start honing in on him.
Mm.
After obtaining phone records, they were able to see that in the days before the discovery of Jasmine's body, her and Ryan had gone to San Diego to attend a poker tournament. On the 13th of August, they arrive at their hotel at 3:28 p.m. in Jasmine's white Mercedes. The CCTV footage shows them get out of the car and unload their luggage, the same luggage that Jasmine's body would later be found in. Jasmine and Ryan go to their room, and after getting ready, they're seen leaving their room at 6:25 p.m. Now, that night, Jasmine sends a text to Robert Hasman, a friend of over 2 years and a former boyfriend. She says to Robert, basically, please come and get me. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. She clearly wants out of this situation. I'm done with him.
And what's the background check on Robert?
I mean, as far as I know, Robert seems fine. He certainly has opinions on Ryan.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think we all do already at this point. After the tournament, Ryan and Jasmine head to the Ivy nightclub. And while there, Ryan and Jasmine get into a fight. And I think it's safe to assume it was down to the discovery of these text messages.
Yeah.
With this discovery, Ryan knows he's losing his grip on Jasmine.
But he didn't want her.
He doesn't want her, but you're not going to walk out on me.
AF.
You know?
I forgot that bit. Knobhead.
The final text sent to Robert from Jasmine's phone that night simply read, "Suck it." I'm going to take a wild, wild guess that this text was not sent by Jasmine.
You don't know that.
What, you think she turned on Robert? The last time Jasmine was seen that night was at 2:30 a.m., picking up her car from the poker tournament. At 4:30 a.m., Ryan is seen returning to the hotel on his own. On the CCTV, Ryan can be seen running to his hotel room, seemingly in a panic. When they later search the hotel room, they do not find anything in the room. But on the patio, they find blood and hair that would later be matched to Jasmine. They also get statements from the occupants of the room either side of them. They said that they could hear shouting and Ryan and Jasmine arguing. It's believed that on the way home that night, Ryan attacked Jasmine in the car. This theory can be backed up by evidence later found in Jasmine's car. Her 2007 white Mercedes would later be found in a parking lot in West Hollywood. There were signs of a struggle, with blood smeared across the passenger seat, back seats, and rear windshield.
Fucking hell.
Now, also found in Jasmine's car was a letter addressed to her from Ryan.
Oh.
The letter demonstrate. Why are you saying oh to?
I thought you were going to say a teeth and fingers.
No.
Oh.
The letter demonstrates just how possessive Ryan was of her and detailed how he wanted her to follow his wishes. And this was just one of many. There was many, many letters of a similar nature found within their home.
Mm.
So, of course, Ryan can't just walk through the hotel lobby with Jasmine after she had been horrifically beaten. People are going to notice.
Yeah.
So he brings Jasmine to the patio of their room, which had direct access to the car park. It's thought that once in the room, Ryan lost it, knowing that Jasmine was going to go to the police. It was said that Jasmine was the type of person who would not give up without a fight. And with Ryan knowing that he wasn't going to be able to weasel his way out of this, he strangles Jasmine. It's thought that he brings her into the bathroom and begins to mutilate her body through pulling her teeth and severing her fingers.
When Do you know how much effort that would be?
Mm.
Like pulling the teeth? What's he using?
Mm.
He's in a hotel room.
When Ryan checks out of the hotel at around 9 a.m, he's seen leaving with no suitcase and carrying all of his clothes in his arms.
Oh. Because his suitcase, the body's in that.
Mm-hmm.
So he ain't got a case left.
No. Looks a right tit walking through the halls with his fucking arms full of clothes.
Well, yeah. How did that not draw attention?
Yeah.
That prick came with a case. Where's his case?
I mean, the other thing, if you're going to do that, you know, because he doesn't want to draw attention. You have access through the back patio. Why wouldn't you bring your clothes, load them into the car, and then when you go to check out, you're just checking out?
We've just been to a hotel. If I saw someone checking out, holding a pile of clothes like they're holding a fucking baby, I'd be like, what's the crack with him?
What's this guy's fucking problem?
I need to know. What's going on?
Well, after this case, you're just going to be sus of him now.
Yeah.
After checking out, it's believed that Ryan drove to Buena Park, where he left Jasmine's body, before returning to their penthouse, reporting Jasmine missing, and getting ready to flee to Canada.
Well, it's not to flee, it's to sort out his visa.
Oh, excuse me, yes. He has some issues.
Yeah.
He leaves the penthouse at 9 a.m. the following morning. So, that's kind of the backstory and how we think the murder took place. We're back up to the point where police are like, hey, Ryan, fuck you doing? What are you going to Canada for?
Yeah.
So the police notify the RCMP under the assumption that he's going to flee. He's pretty much admitted to them.
Yeah.
Border searches commence with the use of helicopters, officers on foot, and dogs. The Orange County District Attorney pleads with the public to come forward if they had any information as to Ryan's whereabouts and caution them that harbouring the suspect would result in a criminal prosecution. On the 19th of August, Ryan's BMW is found in a marina in Washington with a trailer for a boat attached. Just as they had thought, Ryan fucked off to Canada. On the 20th of August, a $10 million warrant was issued for Ryan's arrest. The same day that Ryan was charged with murder and a warrant for his arrest was issued, he's seen with a woman in 2001 Silver Chrysler PT Cruiser in Hope, British Columbia. At approximately 6 p.m, they arrive at the Thunderbird Motel.
Let me guess. It's Megan.
No.
Oh.
Oh, shit. Could you imagine if it came back round like that? No, you leave Megan out of it. She's good. She's separate.
Okay.
Now, the manager of the motel did notice when they pulled up. It was to the side of the property by the bins rather than up front. Ryan stays in the car while the woman heads to reception and covers the cost of a room for 3 nights. It's thought that this woman was either Ryan's half-sister or his ex-fiancée.
Another one?
Mm. On the 23rd of August, checkout time comes and goes, and the management decide to check in on the room and make sure everything was okay, especially as over the last couple of days they hadn't seen any activity.
Mm.
They enter his room and find Ryan hanging from the clothing rack by his belt.
What, like a sex game gone wrong?
No, a suicide.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was that BDSM. No, not BDSM, asphyxiation. I thought it was that, you know, there's people who...
Yeah, erotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
On his computer, they find a document which he had titled Last Will and Testament. Quote, "I'm sure everyone feels I'm a monster. Let me tell you that Jasmine was in fact a far greater monster than I could ever be. I merely wanted to love someone. My heart and love for her was pure and powerful.
Dick.
It drove me and brought out the very best in me. I'm sorry for running away from my responsibilities. There's just no place for me in this world. Jasmine was the key to my happiness."
Well, what a knob. And last will and testament?
It's very contradictory in that short statement.
Yeah. But last will and testament? It's got fuck all. It's all his father's money.
Yeah. I mean, this was basically just his final statement. I mean, it's not technically a confession, but from reading that, it kind of seems as good as to me.
Yeah.
You know, you, running away from what responsibilities? What are you talking about specifically there? How are you saying...
You might think I'm a monster.
Jasmine was the key to my happiness, but she's also this horrible, evil person. She's far worse than me.
Yeah.
Why? Again, the competition thing. It's not like, you know?
Yeah.
After the death of both Jasmine and Ryan, a relative of Ryan's released a statement. Quote, "The events of the past week have been a surreal experience for my entire family. None of what has happened fits with the Ryan we all knew and loved so dearly. I only hope with diligent investigative work, the real truths will emerge." I mean, what?
So it's basically, my Ryan wouldn't do that.
That's the type of energy I'm getting from it, yeah. You know?
Not my Ryan.
Mm. So Jasmine's ex-boyfriend, Robert Hasman, he said of the murder, quote, "Jenkins is an animal, and what he has done to Jasmine is unspeakable." He also stated that he is happy that Ryan took his own life.
Yeah, like, you'd never hear me say anything wrong against him. Seems an alright bloke.
Robert?
Yeah. What?
He's hardly in it, and you're like, Robert?
Well, I did accuse him earlier, but...
Did you? Robert?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was Michael.
And him. Any bloke.
Is anyone safe from you? Jasmine's mother said, quote, "It's a mixed reaction. It brings some closure to what's been going on. We don't have to worry about looking for him anymore or being worried that he's a threat to any other women or men." I really like what her mother said. She's clearly very level-headed and, you know, there is no good out of this.
No.
But I mean, I understand what she's saying. He's not a threat anymore. You were at least getting that from the situation. Of course, with the death of Ryan, we don't have any definitive answers. But with the CCTV, the texts, the DNA evidence, I think what the police propose as to be the sequence of events, we do have a good notion of how this crime was perpetrated. Ryan seems to have been an incredibly controlling, abusive man. And we see this too often. A person becomes attracted to an outgoing individual, but once you're in their grasp, suddenly you're meant to dull your personality and serve only as an extension of them and their desires. But I don't think Ryan targeted Jasmine solely for the image of being a girl of Playboy, but because of her work ethic and ambitions to make a decent life for herself. Ryan wanted a luxurious lifestyle. He just didn't want to foot the bill.
Well, he couldn't. He was skint.
That's what I mean. It wasn't just, you know, like I said at the start, it's not just that she was, you know, a very beautiful woman. It's that she had ambition. She had drive. She had something about her, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. At the time of her death, Jasmine was just 28 years of age. Described as one of the most genuine people you could meet, there was a sincerity to her. Everett Pope, an ex-boyfriend of Jasmine, said, "She was just a real sweetheart. Some of what has been said about her to date has been disheartening. People hear a model and cast their own opinions, I guess, but they are not remotely close to the actual facts. I know she would have treated this guy like a king, and I just don't understand how this could have happened."
Yeah, like, you hear of it all the time. Like, it's completely different, but when I was growing up, there was a girl I knew, and I don't know what you'd even call them, profession-wise, but she would go to nightclubs on a Friday, Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Promo girl?
Yeah, pretty much.
Promo girl, bottle girl kind of thing.
Yeah, so she'd be basically in underwear.
I don't know, is that still the terms used, or is that kind of considered like more offensive? I don't know.
I don't know, but she would basically, on a Friday and Saturday night, she'd work at a nightclub, she'd be in her underwear, but she'd be wearing a belt what held shot glasses. And she'd just walk around handing out free shots.
Yeah, it's promotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she did. She got such a bad reputation for that. She was doing that while she was going through school to be an architect.
This is the problem though. You know, so she was studying to become an architect.
Yeah.
That's amazing, brilliant, good for her. But even if she was happy doing promotions full time, fucking leave her be.
Yeah.
Is it paying her bills? Well then fucking mind your own business.
And it's like you've pointed out many, many, many times, why be mad at her?
Mm-hmm.
Because if there wasn't a custom for it,
exactly,
then exactly, you wouldn't profit from it.
This is exactly it. And it's because it's that attitude also bothers me as well. You know, the whole thing of she's just doing this or he's just doing this until. And it's like, who are you to say?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah.
Like, I'm not saying everyone has to like it.
Yeah.
But you can't be the sort of man to go in a strip club and then judge someone for being a stripper.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry, if you don't like it, then you don't have to be a promo girl.
Yeah.
You're good. Don't worry about it. So back to Jasmine.
Yeah.
Now, from what I gather, Jasmine stayed friends with a lot of her exes. She didn't seem to be the type of person who would throw someone away just because they didn't work out in a romantic sense.
I do.
Her mother commented on her previous relationships, saying that, with the exception of Ryan, the other men who had been in her life were all incredibly loving, good men. And I can only imagine how jealous Ryan would have become of these relationships.
Yeah.
And that is the murder of Jasmine Fiore.
Not to be confused with Fiore.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that is a very good point as well, because people have very strong opinions of that. And, you know, there were opinions of Jasmine and the work she did and everything. And it's like, first of all, like you just talked about, a job's a job.
Yeah.
And also Jasmine clearly had ambitions.
And the job's there because of your dirty bastards.
Well, Jasmine had, you know, ambition and drive, and she was trying to make a good life for herself. And she did actually have a goal of opening a gym down the line and doing all that, you know. So, I mean, I don't understand. And I actually do like that about her personality, the whole thing of not throwing someone out of your life because, oh, our relationship didn't work out. Now, sometimes you do have to be like, right, fucking dead end, I'm gone.
Yeah.
People turn nasty and shit. But at the end of the day, not always. If someone was a good mate of yours, you know, so be it.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that case?
It was him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not much to solve. It was him.
I didn't ask you to solve it, though.
You usually say, what's your opinion then?
Well, what's your opinion on the case? Was there anything in it that you were
fucking
kind of...
horrible.
Oh. It is horrible. 28-year-old woman. Working away, fucking building up her life. And this jealous little bastard came in.
Yeah, it's like... The bit what stood out for me is... I can't wait to get away from her, but she won't... I will not let her leave me.
Look, if we flipped the situation...
So why didn't he leave her?
If we flipped it and it was the man was the victim, the woman was the perpetrator, what would we be saying? She's a fucking gold digger. She's this, she's that.
Yeah.
We're not saying that about the guy.
No, you know? But he is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're not saying about him.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that mentioned. Like, I've heard say, yeah, he was trying to take from her, but they never use these kind of derogatory terms, you know?
No. But yeah, that's a good question. Why didn't he just leave her? If he wanted to leave her...
Mm-hmm. Bye then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Yeah, but he can't though, can he? Because he's still trying to take her money.
Yeah, and but that Megan built. Had money. And he wanted to go back to her anyway.
Who said he wanted to go back to her?
You did. You were told...
No, I didn't. I said they met up for dinner.
Yeah, but why is he telling her, but he wants to leave the other one?
Who knows why Ryan does anything, right? Ryan, the name's getting added to the list. Do we do that every time we cover something to Shy Talk and we just have this massive wall of names?
Yeah.
No one's safe.
Yeah, it's like I was just doing, making the new thumbnails for all of our episodes on YouTube. And I was looking at some of the pictures. Joel and Lisa Guy, what was his son called?
Joel.
Oh, yeah. Joel. That's another one then.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Fuck that guy.
You little freak. Right. So, just to be different, we'll
oddity.
Do an oddity.
Oddity. Dr. Death. So, remember... No. I see you getting excited. No.
Streamer?
No. What?
The streamer?
No. Who?
There's a streamer called Dr. Death.
No. What would the oddity be about him?
I thought you was going to tell me he's done something.
No. I don't even know what it is. Is it the guy with the fake, like the wig and the tash?
He has a tash and like curly black hair. No. And he always wears sunglasses.
No, I've seen him like in clips, but I've never ever
watched
his
content. He's got a flavour of G Fuel.
Okay. Is that the oddity? Was there something in that?
I don't know, you're the one doing the oddity.
No, it's not him though.
Right.
Dr. Death.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember oddity last week?
Death is in, like, I can't hear shit.
No, death.
Okay. No, so I heard it right the first time, but the second time you said death.
Remember our oddity last week, Plastinization, and you weren't about it. You were horrifically disinterested
in Plastinization. Still
don't get
it. Huh? I still don't get it a week later.
Okay, well, today we're actually going to talk a bit further on it. We're going to talk about the man behind this technique. Gunther von Hagens, also known as Dr. Death. Gunther von Hagens is a physician, scientist, and inventor. As we mentioned last week, he first introduced the plastination technique in 1977. The following year, he founded the company Biodur Products, which specialises in plastics and plastination equipment. In 1992, he completed the first whole-body plastination. And by 1995, he began working on the Body Worlds exhibition. So Body Worlds exhibition was, do you remember we talked about like, the Bodies Expo and all that, where they display the actual bodies.
Yeah.
Jumping into 2002, Gunther performs a public autopsy in London to an audience of 500 people. This was the first public autopsy in the UK in 170 years.
I think I remember that.
Mm. Yeah, so when I started looking into it...
And then they took the piss out of it on The Simpsons.
Oh, I don't know. So I was looking into this. And I was like, this is vaguely familiar. Do I remember this? So I asked my mum if she remembered it. And she was like, yeah, I remember. And I was just like...
She says yes to everything. She does.
So when trying to get the ball rolling on the public autopsy, Gunther was sent a letter to warn him of potential legal action being taken against him. He argued that the purpose was purely to determine a cause of death, find any abnormalities, and he also stated that the body was supplied by a, quote, consenting body donor. So the autopsy went ahead and he was grand. He also performed the autopsy while wearing his signature fedora. Now, Gunther was actually a political prisoner years previous, having spent 2 years behind bars. So I'm not really surprised that this letter didn't really faze him. Now, the autopsy was actually televised, and Ofcom did receive a few complaints. But ultimately, they ruled that it was for educational purposes and had not been sensationalised.
Well, this is it. If you've switched that on, knowing what it is, and then kicking off because it is indeed what it says it's going to be, that is like listening to a true crime podcast and going, all they talk about is murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, talk about something else.
Now, I understand if they interrupted, you know, the Saturday morning cartoons to air it then. I go, okay, that, you know, could cause a bit of a disturbance. Yeah, exactly. But I think if it's on at like fucking 9 p.m. on a fucking Friday or whatever, you just get a grip of yourself, lads.
Speaking of Rugrats, I heard an interesting theory about Rugrats.
Yeah, I've heard it. I think it's a pretty big theory.
Oh.
Yeah, that's they're all like dead and shit.
Angelica's imagining
all
of them. One of them were a stillbirth.
Yeah.
One of them was an abortion, so she didn't know if it was a boy or if it was going to be a boy or girl. So she imagines twins, a boy and a girl.
Hmm.
Yeah. Look it up. I can't get into it. We're doing an audit here.
So with the public autopsy, obviously there is a few people who were less than happy. But Gunther's reasons for performing the public autopsy, I think, are valid. He said that autopsies are confined to an exclusive medical elite. He wanted lay people to be able to have an understanding of the body before the government banned public dissections. This was his attempt to, quote, democratise anatomy.
But, okay, so it was back in the day when you'd record, you could tape it. So what if you'd got some idiots out there taping it so they can be like, just in case I ever need to, you know, cut costs and do it on a family member to help them?
What?
Like,
what do you mean do it on a family member to help them? Do what?
Well, like, say if they need
dissect
to...
dissect them.
Yeah, say if
find the cause of death.
Well, no, but like, he's taking organs out and stuff. Showing you the correct way to do
it. He's trying to find the cause of death. He's not trying to, you know, fucking correct a hernia.
I'd got operation in my head.
No.
Oh, I thought it was like, my sister needs to remove a lung.
No. Lung? No, it was cause of death. And also I said, find any abnormalities.
Right.
This wasn't just surgery.
Okay.
You know, they've since passed, Neil.
Okay.
That part's done.
I might be thinking of something else then. Because I'm fairly certain it weren't a dead body what I saw. It was someone under anaesthetic.
It's kind of a different thing. Christ.
You're on Channel 4.
Do you know what? This was on Channel 4. I hope to fuck that is what you're... I hope it wasn't someone who went in for surgery and got dissected.
That's where I might be getting confused with Simpsons. Because that, on The Simpsons, it was televised. But it was someone having an operation. I definitely saw this. And of course it was Channel 4.
It's always Channel 4. Always on their bullshit. Yeah. I love Channel 4. It's Channel 4 where, what's that show called? Me and you got mad into it at one point. We need to watch it again.
Naked one.
It's a dating show. Now, lads, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it.
Stood there with a prick out.
It's a dating show where you pick a person from the lineup based purely on physical attraction. So first you're going to see like, what's it like up to their knees, then it goes up to their bollocks, then up to their chest, and then finally you see their face.
No, I think it starts with a prick out.
No, I don't think...
It goes up, but the stud with her ass showing in it, and then they have to turn around, and then it goes up to the chest.
We need to start... What? Naked Attraction.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. Great show.
Just balls all over the place, like.
It's so funny to me because British are kind of considered uptight, and they are in some ways, but then they're also the most, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Are you televising this?
See, one thing I did take from it is when women, you often hear women saying stuff like, size doesn't matter. It's not a thing. Not one little pecker got chosen on that show. When I was watching it, as soon as it went up and it went waist high, mm-hmm. and you saw they've got a little pecker, it's like, he's fucked. That's it. Mm-hmm. And he'd get voted out immediately.
Mm.
Shallow bastards, the lot of you.
And you're saying the men weren't shallow on the show?
Well.
The whole show, I mean, it was a train wreck, but I loved it.
I just want to clarify, women haven't said it to me. Don't worry, size doesn't matter. I'm saying you hear it in general.
Calm down, Neil. No one's having a go at you here. You're fine. In more recent years, Gunther has made the decision to step back from his work due to suffering from Parkinson's.
Good move.
But he has said that he wishes for his body to undergo the plastinization process and for his corpse to appear in the Body Worlds exhibition with his hand positioned so visitors can greet him upon entry to the exhibition.
I can tell you now, I would not touch that.
Speaking on his work, Gunther said, quote, "The anatomist alone is assigned a specific role he is forced in his daily work to reject the taboos and convictions that people have about death and the dead. I myself am not controversial, but my exhibitions are. Because I am asking viewers to transcend their fundamental beliefs and convictions about our joint inescapable fate." Fair enough. Neil, thoughts?
It's the same as the last one. I don't get it. Like,
fuck's sake. Not even with hearing a bit more about him and, you know, the years of work he's put into it, the public autopsy. You're still not about it.
All I took from that is he wears a fedora and he's got Parkinson's.
Do you know what really gets me, right? I wrote up the previous oddity and you clearly had opinions, and our listeners actually found it quite enjoyable how, you know, disinterested you were.
Yeah.
I wrote this up immediately after. So when we were recording that and I could see how unbothered you were about this, I was like, great, we got another episode to do with it. Another oddity about it. Yeah. I just knew it was like, setting myself up for failure here. I think it's fascinating. Also, the whole plastination process is done with animals as well. I think you actually posted a picture of a horse.
Yeah, an horse.
Yeah.
Loads of people are like pulling strings on it and stuff.
Were
they using it like a puppet?
It was kind of, because the tendons positioning them and get like how the horse's leg is up to, you know, how the tendons would sit. And
gross. Pulling at tendons and stuff, like, that's horror movie shit.
Well, there has been a few issues in regards to where the supply of bodies are coming from. And after what we've talked about previously during the Arizona body donation scandal, I admit that is a concern. But Gunther has stated that he goes to a supplier and, you know, as far as he's aware, he is going through the proper process.
Same as the military.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know, but you have to put faith in someone that they are going through it and it's, you know, the step before that. You got to trust them.
Someone else's fault.
Well, I'm not saying pass the blame, but you got to hope the supplier is doing the right thing.
Yeah.
By the person, by the donor, you know? But yeah, that's Gunther von Hagens. What do you think? Do you admire him? Do you question his moral code? Or are you just, you know, good for him, but it's not my bag of tricks?
Good for him. Like, it's,
look at the face on you. You're so just like, ugh.
Good for him, but not my cup of tea.
Not your cup of tea?
No.
Is any of the content of these episodes your cup of tea, excluding the boxing one? When you think about what we're talking about.
Yeah, I've got into some of them.
I feel like you just took a stand against this. This is the one where I've had enough.
This, and there was another one I didn't get. What were it? There were another oddity and I just...
What don't you get though? That's what I mean.
The point. Like,
what?
The point. Like, you told me
What's the point of any of it?
You told me it takes a year to fucking complete, and it's like, that's a year on one thing.
So hang on, your issue is that you think it's too much work for the final result.
Well, I don't want to see it.
You don't have an issue with what they're doing. You just don't understand why they care enough to do it. Is that it?
Well, it's that, and then no one cares to see it. So what's the point of doing it?
People do. The exhibitions were massive. Like I said, I've even been myself, and it was amazing.
I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered about going, and I bet there's more like me.
Mm.
So it's like, for what?
This doesn't suit me and my needs, therefore it should not exist.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.